The reading today is taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. And the two headings within it are the coming of the Holy Spirit and Peter addresses the crowd. Hopefully it'll be on the screen above me, but if you wish to follow it in the Bible in front of you, it can be found in the New Testament area at the back on page 127. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and tongue rested on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each of one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own language we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, this is by known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I shall show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Hello. Goodbye. Hello. Oh, there he is. Okay, this is going to be really fresh. We got that slide, Christine, to just ping up. I think she's on it. This is going to be really fresh because I had a talk planned for about 2 weeks. Literally 2 weeks ago, it was like, right, Pentecost Sunday, on it. Got everything down. I've been in between work, traveling on trains all up and down Wales. Yep, got it. Bang, it's out. It's good. And about 5:10 this morning, just after my wonderful 2-year-old had woken up, I just set off for a run, and God was like, "You know that talk you planned?" "Yeah." "Rip it up. I got something else." So here it is. So if this feels a bit staggered, there's a really good reason for it. Him. I feel like with Pentecost, we can quite often get in our heads the sort of cute Sunday school beginner's Bible kind of images of a cute little nice golden flame just there, and everyone's sort of sitting down like that, and it's all nice and calm. Ah, that's it's nice. And you can read that nice and quiet and everything like that. And actually, you go back to the Bible and it's like, yeah, it was a noise like a rushing wind. And I think when they say rushing wind, it's the kind of thing that's going to get the thousands of people in one of the busiest cities in the world who are just outside all rushing up saying, what on earth is going on? That's going to be some noise. I heard another vicar somewhere say it's akin to the noise of jet engines. So you take a jet engine and stick that in a small upper room in Jerusalem. They didn't have soundproofing or anything. You're going to hear that. You're going to feel that. Something was seriously going on. And it's not this cutesy beginner's Bible image. And I almost likened that to the sound of when you hear anyone who lives in Saltney, you'll know the belugas take off all the time. Do you notice when a beluga takes off? It's kind of like time stops for a second and it's like, where is it? It's going to be there. There it is, I saw it. It was almost the same with the Lancaster came over the last week, wasn't it? You notice it. So you've got that sound, and then just to top it all off, I'll sort of look to Andy for a second. It's like, there's Andy just sitting there. It's a bit noisy in here. Whoa, he's on fire! And it might not have been that cute little flame. He could have been physically completely on fire. We don't know. It's easy to notice. It was really easy to notice. And you look at other times that God's used fire in the Bible. The first one that comes to mind for me was Moses and the burning bush. And you've got Moses sort of walking along and it's like, oh, there's a bush on fire there. Yeah. You could have just ignored it, I guess, because, you know, it's a hot day. Stuff in the desert probably catches fire from time to time. But he didn't. He stopped because that's significant. God doesn't always use, let me make sure I'm in the right place. The stuff that happened in that upper room in Jerusalem was easy for everyone to notice. God is in the room and he's doing something. Moses could have walked on, but no, God's doing something there and I want some of that. He doesn't always use big moments though. He doesn't always use big things to say that he's doing something. It's not always the noise of jet engines in the room. It's not always feeding 5,000 people from scraps. It's small things sometimes. And I think often today, when it comes to looking for a move of God around us, it's quite easy to miss the small moments or feel that we're too small to be used by God for stuff like that. I've got a clip, and just before it plays, all I'm going to say is just sit back and relax and enjoy and really look at it and get the image in your head of the fire in this clip. You will probably recognize it.
Thank you.
You knew I was going to get it in, didn't you? You knew it. Henny leaned over to me just after it started and said, I knew it. That took a small person. Hobbits are about that high, aren't they? Something like that. I'm right, yeah, about that high. To climb a mountain and just light one fire. And it's important to the plot of that, because if he didn't light that fire, they weren't going to get the help they needed to destroy the works of the enemy. But he recognized the moment. He recognized the moment where something needed to happen. And he stepped up and did it. And it was a small thing. If you read Lord of the Rings, it'll probably take you about a week to read the whole thing. And it's a small moment of that. But if he didn't do that, the story at the end would be completely different. Completely different. And I want us to have the image of those mountains going up on fire in your head. Because I was running this morning and I just heard in my head this phrase, light that fire on your mountain. How do you do that? It starts here. It starts in this room. It starts in this church. And, you know, that worship just now was absolutely amazing. And really felt the Holy Spirit in the room. And I kind of thought to myself, yeah, great, follow this. But it starts there. The first thing that really stuck out to me when I joined the church was this longing for the Holy Spirit, was this passion for worship, was this desire for the presence of God. And that's all it takes for us to find that here and welcome it and embrace it and appreciate it and then go out there and see what happens. I listened to a couple of songs this morning on that run as well. And the first one has a lyric that says, stir a passion in my heart, Lord, let it overflow. This is where it gets stirred, and that is where it overflows. Another one, fire fall down on us, we pray. You ask for it here, and you get it out there. And I think a recent thing that really shows that for St. Mark's is Love Late. Because it felt devastating when we thought we were going to have to cancel it this year. I mean the word devastating, because it's such an integral part of the church to be going out and taking Jesus out to the people who don't know about him yet. It's so important. So the chance of that not happening was breaking. And when that was a possibility, the whole church family stood up and was like, really, do we have to? Do we have to? Can we find another way? Can we find a way to make this happen, to take Jesus onto Sycamore Field in the Lates? And we did. And it's happening. It's different, but it's happening. But what about the everyday? Because we talk about front lines in church. We've all got front lines. They're all fantastically different. What does it look like when we light that fire on our mountains? Because that's what it is. You know, we've got one big mountain as this church, and it's the Lates, and it's Saltney, yes. But each of our front lines, and think for a minute about where you're going to be, I don't know, 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. That's your front line. That's the mountain you light that fire on top of. One of my, well, my front line is the railway, for anyone who may not know by now. And I'm using this example to highlight that we all do stuff differently, but it all has the same result because we're all doing it for the same king. And there's a tunnel on the way towards Warrington called Sutton Tunnel, and it's about 1.75 miles long, long tunnel. You can just about see that much of a tunnel exit at the other end. It's really straight. And every driver who drives through that tunnel has a different way of stopping at Runcorn East Station, which is literally the other side. You can't be doing more than about 40 miles an hour coming out of the other end, because otherwise you'll go flying through. And the line speed is over 70 miles an hour. So you've got to be in the dark, on almost 2 miles length of tunnel and know exactly when to put the brake in to stop at that platform. And everyone does it differently. I've been with so many drivers, everyone does it differently. Some people, you've got a bit of a light on the front of the train. There's like, oh yeah, there's a bracket on the wall of the tunnel there. I see that and I stop. And I'm kind of thinking, how do you see a bracket on the wall of a tunnel when you're doing 70 miles an hour? But they do, they know where it is. Some people say, oh yeah, there's like a shaft in the roof. Start putting the brake in there or do this. Personally, I use the shape of the tunnel exit because you can see where you get to the top. And when you start dropping down, put the brake in and you'll stop. Everyone's got a different way of doing it. Everyone here has a different front line that they work in, that they live in, that anything. And we're all different people as well. I'm no similar to Richard. I'm no similar to Sue or Sarah or anyone in this room. We're all so unique. We've all got different ways of doing things. I use Lord of the Rings to explain just about everything. You know, it's different for everyone. But it all gets the same result. If each of us go out there and light the fire on our mountain, because it's all saying, this is Jesus. This is Jesus. And it doesn't, and we'll all have different ways of doing that. People at work know that I'm a Christian, they know I go to church, and they tend not to really ask me too much about it. But when they do, I'll talk. Fine, cool, whatever. Oh, Dave, you're a vicar, aren't you? No. It's hard to explain when you used to be a warden as well. It's like, I'm not a vicar, I help the vicar. Oh, no. Or it's just, Dave, you're religious. That's the one you get the most. You're religious. No, I'm not. I love Jesus. So how do you go out and find the small moments in your front lines? Because there probably will be small moments that you might otherwise miss. You may walk down the street and there'll be a bush on fire. You know, pay attention to that, you know. But what if it's a simple get on the bus to work and you say good morning to the driver? And you say that with the intent of releasing Jesus into that person's cab. Because you don't know what the Holy Spirit's going to do. But you're doing something with it. Because you carry him in there if you love Jesus Christ. It's that moment of one of my drivers coming up to me at work and saying, I'm struggling with this. I feel so low. I feel this. I feel that. And being able to speak into that situation. It's the moment of someone even coming and saying, I'm really struggling. And all you can say in response is, I'll pray about that. And then it gets fun, because a month or so later, you can come back and say, what happened with that? And be prepared for a cool story. Light that fire on your mountain. Think about where you're going tomorrow, what your plan is for tomorrow. I'm finishing off a driver's final at 7 o'clock in the morning. He's coming in and he's getting from me the key to start a new career for the next 20 years. How am I going to bring Jesus into that situation? It might just be getting up and making a cup of coffee for whoever you live with in the kitchen. How are you going to bring Jesus to them that morning? Because believers need him still as much as people who don't love Jesus, don't we? No, I do. Light that fire on your mountain.